I think eventually what has happened in TrashCon is that every day that I spend more in the dump sites, the passion has increased manifold. So I think the gravity of the situation got more and more enhanced when I started working in dump sites. I still remember there was a day when it was 12 p.m. in the night and I was in the middle of a landfill. And there were dogs and cats and whatnot because we were trying out our machines. We had a few dispatches and we were still perfecting it. And that is when I looked at these huge the landfills were nearly 10 times my height, and they had caught fire the other day. And I was just thinking if there could be something that can be done to sort of lighten the burden on Mother Earth, which is very, very essential. Please bless us to do that. So that was the sort of intention we had, and I think that has carried us forward throughout this entire journey.
Hello everyone, and that is my guest Navira. She is the co-founder of TrashCon. Spoke to her back in December 2017, episode 72. They've created a machine that helps solve India's huge waste management problem. So they started with one tiny machine doing 100 kilograms a day to now doing 200,000 kilograms a day. And they did $1 million revenue last year and have $3 million in the pipeline this year. So she talks about spending 2.5 years working in dump sites around India. She talks about working with big corporations and municipalities. And she talks about how they launch and test MVPs and new products. She then talks about when to use experts and when not to use experts. She talks about going from 3 to 60 staff and what they look for in hiring. And finally, she talks about why you shouldn't look for perfection in building your startup and why they have banned the word impossible and much, much more. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Navira. Thanks for coming back on the show again.
Hi, Neil. Hi. Really glad 3 years. Yes. Quite a long time.
Yeah. You actually came on the show back in December 2017. Yeah. If you just briefly tell our listeners what you do again.
All right. So yeah, TrashCon started to solve or rather eradicate waste minutes once and for all. And that was our vision. It was a huge vision that we started out with. And when we started out, it was primarily that majority of Indian population, despite laws and regulations due to extremely difficult conditions or rather unregulated practices, segregation was still not happening on ground. And that is the reason why we thought to clear up black spots, to clear up dump sites, let us create a technology that can automatically sort the waste into wet and dry, post which it can be recycled. Then, this is until when I spoke to you, Neil. But then once we achieved that, which in itself was a huge task because waste was so dynamic, and we were able to get adequate efficiency of segregation. And this went through like a lot of iterations. And I think almost two and a half years into the business is when we actually got it right. But then what we realized was the wet waste could be composted, while the dry part, which was primarily plastics, became again a huge problem because the plastics that we were getting was the plastics that nobody else wanted, which is your chips packet, your biscuit wrappers, your aluminium, all the food packaging that we use on a day-to-day basis, which we throw. And then when we went back and saw, we do not get any plastics that has value. We get plastics that even a waste picker does not have value for, which are these plastics. Mm. And if you see an Indian household, 75% of the plastics that we throw out is this type, which we call as multi-layered packaging, or, these are primarily used for food packaging and other sorts of packaging. So then we realized, hey, the only other solution was to send it to a cement plant and where it is used instead of coal, because it's a very fuel. But then as TrashCon, being TrashCon, we never really wanted to create something that is not very sustainable economically or environmentally. So that is the reason why we ended up designing or creating yet another technology, mm-hmm. which recycles these plastics into something called recycled sheets. Mm-hmm. We call it WOW boards, mm-hmm. Which are similar to plywood. The plywood 8x4 sheets, which you use for your benches, desks, tables, chairs, your woodwork. So all of that can be made from this material, and it's better than plywood. It's waterproof, it's termite proof, it has excellent various other things. So this became our second technology. And actually, if you see, they're not very different. It's an ecosystem that we sort of developed, where any sort of waste that nobody wants, waste that is on your streets, goes in and comes out as value. So this is what TrashCon developed over the years, Neil, this is what we do.
So what have been like the highlights then since I last spoke to you?
I think we have have had huge amount of traction. We are very blessed to be getting it. So basically, we are working with some of the largest corporates, including the likes of Unilever, Mondelez, Baker Hughes, ONGC, Pidilite, Essendas, and name one of the largest corporates, and we might be either working with them or in the pursuit of working with them. Almost all sorts of cities, be it a gram panchayat, which is a small village, to a town municipal corporation, which is a town, and to a complete city in itself is something that we have already tapped into. Right now, TrashCon is across 5 states. We have over 20 plus installations. We are preventing close to 400 tons of waste from going into the landfills or oceans. That's almost like 10 lakh lives that we are touching every day. And now this year, we are focusing on at least 2,000 tons of waste, preventing, the pipeline is 2,000 tons of waste prevented from going into the landfills. That is what we have achieved so far. And it took us actually after we spoke, although we were in the product development stages back then, already if you remember, we had received traction. The market was already waiting for something like this. But it took us a good amount of time. I think 2.5 years of working in the dump sites, working with waste pickers, working with our own hands, and it took us a lot of time to get that product standardization or getting it right. Now that we are across 5 states, I mean we are going to be in 2 more states next month. Now that we are spread across the entire India. I mean, we are as far as from Gujarat to Calcutta to Karnataka to Tamil Nadu. We are now spread, and now we are also launching in Uttarakhand. So you see, we are in all corners.
Yeah.
So it means that the waste generation is different. The kind of moisture content is different. The kind of habits are different. So, but we had to, as a product, give guaranteed results. At least a minimum guaranteed result, and that took us the longest time to achieve. And of course, we also cracked the fact that the person who is handling the machine is unskilled and drunk. So we made it so beautifully foolproof. Most of our plants are run by unskilled workers. We are actually extremely thankful that we have been able to channelize waste pickers into becoming operators. So when they operate the machine, they call themselves operators. So that has just improved their social status. So that was a huge deal for us as well. We have recently even worked with the UK government on a huge project where we transformed an entire town. Literally all the waste goes in, and none of the waste ends up in going to the landfills. And of course, with the boards, we have been able to create a lot of furniture items. The idea is to replace plywood eventually, because not only are we solving the problem of plastics going into the oceans, but also saving trees. We are a 60-member team now. We are a 60-member team. Almost all of us are injured. I think when we met 3 years ago, there were two of us, three of us, I'm not sure. And now we are 60. We would soon be reaching a 100 number mark by, say, in the next 8 to 9 months. We raised $2.5 million almost 1.5 years ago. We are raising yet another round. This is mainly for scale up. So this is exactly where we are in our journey. We have had very good revenues last year, and this year we have very healthy cash flows. But again, as TrashCon, we are still far away from our vision. But very close every day that, we want to make waste a history soon. So we are targeting 2025. I think we'll have a call again.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's amazing, because when I spoke to you, I think you literally just graduated about 3 months ago. How do you reflect on this journey then so far? It's been amazing.
So it has been very overwhelming, Neil. I mean, there have been more downs than ups, although it looks, if you see all our pages, it'll be looking like things are going very well. But I think we have had a lot of failures. We have had a lot of learnings. But every time we failed, I think the only thing that kept us going was, of course, the most brilliant team that we have, but also the fact that if not us, who? And even to this day, we keep saying that if not us, who? And there's a lot of hope that we have been able to create. Our customers believe in us a lot. We have been able to create a huge impact in the shortest amount of time, and that gives us a lot more push. But I think yes, this journey has taught me so much on not giving up. There was an incredible amount of patience required, because you can imagine the first first 3 years when your friends are, you know, in management schools and working in jobs, all of which you could have, and you're working in dump sites and, you know, really not even earning anything, and people are still considering you crazy because we had not yet proven anything. It was just in the making. I mean, we were in the making. We were able to show results, but not at scale. So to just point out, Neil, when I was talking to you back then, we had not even perfected, say, 500 kgs or a ton per day of processing. And today we have installed 200 tons wow. per day of processing unit. So that is the scale which we achieved, which is running again flawlessly. So this is the kind of thing it took. And of course, we were working with one of the most difficult customers. So we were working in the most difficult space, which was waste.
Yeah.
We were working with the most difficult customer, which was government. But we could maneuver all of this through amazing partnerships that we made throughout the way. We got the right customers. We understood our customer segments very well. A lot of things went right because of the support systems that we sort of got from time to time. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, not giving up. I think that's the only underline here. Yeah.
What was the sort of attitude to waste in India now then? I'm assuming it's changed because, you know, you're doing really well now. Or has it?
So attitude to waste is that there is a lot more consciousness, especially after COVID. Right. I think the awareness has increased manifold, and we see that there needs to, I mean, people understand that there needs to be a solution, and they are adopting technologies and innovations that can sort of solve the problem. That's happening a lot, at least with the corporates. The government also has become extremely proactive. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the, you can imagine there are gram panchayats that pay us 100% and take the machines from us, you know, because that's how badly they need it.
Yeah.
They understand that this technology can solve the problem, and then they adopt it. So there is the problem has reached beyond remedy, but we are at the right time with the right solution, which is now proven across the country. So I think there is a good fit that has happened for us. But yes, waste in general, there's a lot of consciousness, especially about wow boards. Also, you may think whether Indian mindset will go in for a new recycled product versus a conventional ply board that they've been using for years. They do. We see our customers actually coming forward and giving us ideas. I mean, why don't you create this product? Why don't you create that product? Most of our products are inspired by our customers. So in fact, the market sort of got us rolling regarding the wow board. So there's a lot of support, Neil. This is what I think. And India is going to be a very, very different. I mean, I can see the change in the next 3 to 4 years. I think we can definitely see a lot of changes happening.
Well, that's good. That's very positive there. Actually, you have to tell the listeners how you came up with this idea.
Because there was a lot of waste near the place where I was studying, and you know, we wanted to clean it up, and when we cleaned it up, it reappeared again. So that got me thinking to, you know, why don't we find a real and permanent solution to it? And then there was a realization that segregation is a huge problem, and that is how it all got rolling. But I think eventually what has happened in TrashCon is that every day that I spend more in the dump sites, the passion has increased manifold. So I think the gravity of the situation got more and more enhanced when I started working in dump sites. I still remember there was a day when it was 12 p.m. in the night, and I was in the middle of a landfill. And there were dogs and cats and whatnot, because we were trying out our machines. We had a few dispatches, and we were still perfecting it. And that is when I looked at these huge, you know, the landfills were nearly 10 times my height, and you know, they had caught fire the other day. And I was just thinking if there could be something that can be done, you know, to sort of lighten the burden on Mother Earth, which is very, very essential. Please bless us to do that. So that was a sort of intention we had. And I think that has carried us forward throughout this entire journey. But during that time, as I mentioned, plastics was also a huge realization. It was not only segregation. What you do after segregation also matters equally, because once you segregate, what next? Mm. So that was a question that we had to answer as well. Yeah. So this is how it sort of unfolded. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
as you know, during this journey, my co-founder Saurabh, he was an instrument in making this happen, because around the same time, you know, we really spent 2 years in the dump sites, and then is when we started getting our team together, and you know, slowly people started joining us again in the dump sites, and that's how we started.
Yeah. We didn't talk about your co-founder on the previous episode. How did you guys meet?
Saurabh is a chartered accountant. I was his client.
All right.
Saurabh is a chartered accountant. I'm his client, but he's also an electronics engineer. A very, very, nice. Very unique combination. Yeah, very, very unique combination. But the thing is, he almost had 15 plus years of industry experience, and he knew how technology works as well as he knew how business unfolds. So he became a go-to mentor for me at most times. But you know what? What eventually happened around the same time? I think I don't really remember the exact instance now. But there was this point of time, and this happened many times, where I felt that, you know, this is not working out. People are right. Let me just give it up. That's exactly when he said, you know, why do you want to give up? And I said, you know, nothing is working. People are right. Race is very dynamic. And I had like 10 reasons. And he said, don't give up. You know, you should do it. If not, you again, that same sentence. So I told him to come down on ground and see it for reality, in reality. And then he came on ground, and when he saw the gravity again, the same thing that happened to me sort of took him over as well. And he felt this is his calling. But there's a background to it. He's also somebody who's as crazy as me to create an impact of a billion lives. He had a NGO where he basically educated kids who literally used to drink water from the slums and educated them. And now all of them have, you know, passed their class 10 and 12 and have good, decent jobs. So I realized this is a person who will go out of his way to create an impact. And that's the reason why, you know, I sort of asked him to be my co-founder, and he eventually agreed, and we started working together. Mm. So, and again, he put in all his life savings into it, all his life savings. So yeah, now it's paying off.
So you must have pitched the idea. How did that go?
And no, so that's what it was not pitching the idea, because he was my CA. He already knew about it. He was already with me. He already believed in the vision that I had, or rather believed in me specifically. And, you know, then we started working together. He's a great problem solver. So we were very complementary in our skill sets. He he's an engineer also. So he knows, he started solving the problems, and we both could really brainstorm and come with solutions. And he's also somebody who never, ever, ever gives up. So he was a great inspiration for me. Because I at least started right after college. But, you know, it takes a different strength to leave your plush AC rooms, which you built. Again, he had built his firm from scratch. It was 3 years, and he had great clientele, and he was doing very well. So he left all that to his partners to join me. So that was a great inspiration for me. So we took inspiration from each other, and that's how we sort of grew.
Let's talk about this machine then, this amazing machine. Is it still called Trashbot 2? Or, cause
we call it Trashbot Pro now, okay. Because it has undergone a lot of changes from what it was to what it is. Again, with a lot of feedbacks and a lot of insights. And the machine basically uses air, size, and several mechanical unit operations to basically do the separation. And we achieve a minimum of 85% segregation efficiency, which is what is required. When we were doing our product development, we always used to think, at 100%, you know, I want to reach 100%. So this was again a mistake that many founders make, and that we realize is never going to happen, because that cannot happen in a technology. Mm. But then we realized the market told us that, you know, 85% is our benchmark, because the moment you do 85%, we can recycle it or we can compost it. So that got us thinking, and you know, our entire machine is now standardized to a minimum 85%. There are times when it reaches above 95% also, but this is something that we were able to guarantee to our customers, and that gives them a lot of confidence. So the machine occupies a very small footprint. It can be assembled and disassembled in 8 to 10 hours. It's very modular. It's plug and play. Again, like I told you, it can be run by an unskilled worker. So this is about the Trashbot part, but we also have these recycling units that I told you.
Right.
Which is called WOW recycling. WOW meaning wealth out of waste. And this machine basically takes all the multi-layered plastics as it is. Again, you know, we had our design principles. We won't use water. We won't use chemicals. We will not add any raw material because the boats that we make, Neil, apart from all the great properties it has, it can be recycled again and again for at least 15 times. And that's something that we have done. So this is what we could sort of achieve with this recycling recycling unit as well.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned technology. How does the technology work then?
So we have a lot of programming which goes behind the board. So in the same machine, you can do 8mm to 18mm. You can set the standard thickness that you require the boards to be, because you know there are a lot of applications that it can be used to. Mm. It can be used for a bench or a desk or a cupboard or a, you know, any kind of woodwork. So we give that sort of an accommodation. There are a lot of alarms that are raised. It's foolproof. That is, it's safety is a huge thing that we have taken care of in most of our equipments. So all of this is embedded in that particular machine itself. So it comes as a full package as such. Yeah. But nobody has to really think. Anybody can operate it. 10-year-old can operate.
So I basically switch it on and press a button and it all works. Is that right?
A green button and a red button, because we do give manuals and other things and everything, but every place we go, we do this we provide them manuals or modules in videos in their local language, because that's what they understand. And we are so committed to making all our units do their fullest that there's one person in our team whose only work is to call each and every one of our customers and understand how much are we processing.
Yeah.
And if at all we are processing anything anytime less, we say, hey, that's not right. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? So this is how much we are invested, although that was not something that even our clients asked us for. But we are extremely sneaky regarding that. And we want to ensure that our machines are working to the fullest and creating the impact that they have.
Yeah, you mentioned the team. So you've gone from 3 to 60 people. What's your hiring philosophy? Because I remember on the podcast, you said, you know, you don't look at age, qualifications or status.
Yes.
What's your philosophy exactly around that? Yeah.
Correct. That sort of retained throughout the entire, hiring principle. But the one thing that we definitely look for is a passion that is so much, because the culture, Neil, is something that I'm absolutely proud about how TrashCon has developed. So I did not imagine that even when we are 60, we will have the same culture, the same passion that we had when we were day one. Mm. And in fact, it is increasing day by day. That was unimaginable for us. And what I mean by culture is everyone in TrashCon is driven on their own. There is no micromanagement. Okay. I don't even visit my factories. And even if I don't, there is an utmost 100% commitment to the customer. That comes the first. And everybody knows why they are doing what they're doing. So you really don't have to tell. There was a time when, because we had lockdowns, we had all this going on. There was a time when we had to work overtime, you know, and then that is again the decision that the team took. I will work overtime to ensure that we commit, because if we don't deliver the machine, somebody else has to touch their hands in waste. So there was a point of time when my team literally slept, did not sleep for three days in a stretch, and I didn't even know. And they delivered it. You know, so this is an utmost level of commitment. There's an utmost level of ownership that we feel absolutely blessed. And all of this was because of the vision, because of the extremely strong vision that each one of us carry. So this is something that we look for. Anybody who joins us, irrespective of the skill set, irrespective of, where they are, who they are, what background they come from, what we look at is this person somebody who can align with our vision? Is this person who will go out of the way to make it happen? Is this a person who will say, nothing is impossible? I mean, impossible is a word that we have banned, literally. I mean, you will see walls in TrashCon where we say impossible and say that it is banned. So nobody says impossible. I mean, if there is a problem, you need to solve it. There is no other way. So I think this is a culture that we have developed, and I think that is something that we are extremely proud of.
Mm. Are you still classing this as a startup then, or is this like a mature business now?
Yes, I think we have a lot of standards and policies and processes in place. But what we have also tried to do is be extremely agile, be extremely adept at quickly understanding and scaling up. I think that's something that we have kept. That part of the startup is something that we have kept. But we have also taken up policies and SOPs, and everything is because that helps us scale very easily. So I think we are in a bit of two. I think we are in the stage of transition towards a highly mature company, but I hope we continue to be as agile as we are, because the problem needs us to be agile.
Two and a half years of product development. I remember you telling me that, you know, the so-called experts said it wasn't going to work, etc.
yes, big time. Yes. Yeah. I think we realized that even more. We went to a lot of consultants. We went to a lot of product developers. We gave the machine. We said that, we thought that experts could solve that. That costed us a lot of money and time. I'll tell you, I realized why. Because, all of them were experts at their subjects, but this was a unique problem that we were trying to solve. And it required people to come on ground and actually spend some time with the waste to understand how it actually works. So at the end of the day, what we realized is it was a big waste of time. But we ended up, you know, actually doing it all on our own. Of course, we had amazing mentors, amazing guides during this entire process. That's not what I'm mentioning. I'm talking about these agencies that we went to hoping that they could help. So I think for any person who's looking at developing a new product out of scratch, which is not there anywhere else, there is a lot of work that one needs to do on their own. And for any specific thing, for example, hey, I need to understand which material I need to use to do this function, then go to the expert. But if you want an expert to solve ABC problems in your machine, that's not going to happen. I think that's the understanding that we had. I wish we knew it before, but yeah, that's the understanding we had. So now we follow that. So most of the ideation, most of the product development, even for our, we never stop innovating. So we are always solving problems one after another. So we now understand that majority of problems we solve in-house. But when there are specific problems that we need to be solved, I think that's when you go to the expert and get it clarified. Because that is where you don't use your brains. You don't solve the problem there because there's an expert already available. So this balance is what we understood, Neil. And yes, this took some time.
What are you working on right now then? What problem are you solving? Anything exciting?
Yeah, so I think right now we are at the scale up. So like I told you, the segregated sorting unit, which took a lot of iteration. Now it's TrashBot Pro. It's come to almost 200 tons a day right now, 100x scale up. We are looking to do the same with the recycling technology as well, because as we scale, the return on investment. So the recycling unit is an absolutely lucrative business for any even small scale businesses. So we have actually, if you see the customers for that, it's very different. Unlike the sorting technology, it is anybody who wants to create a profitable business. It has a payback period of say 3 years, and we also buy back the boats. So we help them with the entire supply chain, we give them the infrastructure, and we buy back the output, thus giving them a steady revenue coming into the picture. So that becomes a very lucrative business for anybody who is looking to invest in sustainability. And this is how we are doing across India. We have corporates working with us. We have businessmen working with us. We have actual sustainability entrepreneurs working with us on this. Now we are looking to scale that up to make the proposition even more lucrative. We believe that we can bring it to a less than 2 years payback period for us as well as our customers. So that is where we are. Yeah.
Sounds exciting, that. What will this business look like in 15 years' time then?
What we are looking at is, Neil, we are still where we started. So I had a dream that, you know, by 2025, we should be looking at processing 1/4 of India's waste. And we had a target that by this year, that is 2022, we'll be doing 2,000 tons of waste per day. I'm glad that we have, despite all the odds, we are very much on the right track. With doing close to 400 tons as on date, we are already having the pipeline for that. So this is the idea, but we have also started exporting. Especially the recycling units are something that has a lot of traction globally. So we have started already exporting it to other countries. So we'll be looking at a couple of plants coming up in other countries as well, because the problem we realize is universal. It's not just India. It's every other country that's reeling under the stress of waste, but it's just in different intensity. Right. So I think we are going global that way. So it's currently almost 80-90% of our sales is in India. But I think going forward, we will look at a larger portion coming from outside India. And in 15 years, I think what we should look at is what I always started out with, where, when my daughter asks me what is waste, that should be the vision. That is always the vision that, people should not even think about waste, because every bit of waste will be converted to value. So that's what we are aiming for.
I suppose you see waste as an asset.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is definitely an asset. If one can tap into it, it is definitely an asset. Yes.
Interesting. Are you like the main players then in the market then?
So Neil, the kind of technologies that we developed, with respect to recycling or with respect to sorting and the entire ecosystem put together, it's unique, and it's all of them. I mean, we have multiple patents on each of these technologies. There's no other segregation that's claiming fresh waste segregation as such, and we have proven it at scale. When it comes to recycling of these non-recyclable plastics, that itself shows you that it is not something that's conventional. Without addition of all these additional raw material, etc., again, that's one of its its kind, and which only TrashCon is doing. So yes, we are. I mean, as I told you, the space is still growing. So we may have many players coming into the market, but again, we have had a good head start, you know, and have had that first mover advantage so far.
Yeah, You mentioned patents. Those seem very expensive, and you know, takes time to do. Is that right? I'm not the expert on how you decide whether to go for a patent or not. For you know, there may be listeners who may want to go through that process of painting.
Correct, but it is definitely the most. I mean, we have a very good law firm which we have tied up with, and we have multiple patents. I think almost 8 now that we have on all our technologies combined. So I think and we are filing more. So yes, it is definitely a very important thing for a company to have. But again, in an Indian scenario, in a developing country scenario, more than IP, what will actually safeguard a company's technology is how quickly are you scaling up? How quickly are you innovating? So you know, the TrashBot that was there day one and the TrashBot that is there today are very different, even in the looks of it, even in the functionality of it. And we are continuously improving, right? So I think that is where we are. We are already 6 months ahead of what the public can see us, you know, or what people can see TrashCon is doing. We are already 6 months ahead. So we are continuously ahead. We are continuously doing R&D and product development on our own products so that, you know, we don't get disrupted ourselves. So that is the kind of thing. Although we invest a lot on IP, we invest equal amount of energy and time on R&D as well. Okay, yeah, so we continue to disrupt ourselves.
Disrupting yourself. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. That. Do you have a playbook then?
Yes, we are asking how did we do it, the entire process? Yeah. Yeah, so I think WowBoat started around 2018 because, you know, that's when at a very early stage, I think we understood that, you know, this is going to be a problem when we do it at scale. You know, our customers cannot depend on a cement plant taking waste because all the cities were 400 kilometers away from a cement plant. So it was very essential for us to sort of co-launch it or at least have the solution ready by the time TrashBot takes scale. So that there was a team, even though we had very minimum resources, there was a team that was already in place that was working on WowBoat. Boards. So we literally started working on wow boards in Saurabh's kitchen in a roti maker. I think where we started making our tiny small boats. But again, that also took us a good two years, I think, of product development. We spent around 10,000 rupees to do our first MVP. What we did first though is that the moment we started making some boards, you know, that was a very small board, maybe a tile size, we started making products out of it. We wanted to understand if the market even likes it, you know, if the market will even invest in something like this. So we started selling our boards the moment we started making it. So and we had no inventory because the moment we were making, we were able to sell. So that's when we realized, hey, this is going to be a huge business. So we slowly scaled it up. I think we made a 1x1 feet when we began, and then we slowly scaled it up to a 4x2 feet board. And now we have the standard 8x4 feet boards. So it took a good amount of time, good amount of learning, and coupled with our own constraints that we had put on ourselves, that we will not use this, we'll not use that. We had just made it more difficult. But yes, the team spent, again, there was a separate team working on it. And there was a lot of standardizations that came into the picture. So I think good two years is what it takes to develop a product from scratch, to developing an MVP, to testing out the market and understanding what the market says. And also, we also optimized our cost because, like I told you, we wanted to make it a lucrative business. It should not be a huge loss for anybody. So we tried to cut down on the electricity cost, on the manpower cost and things like that. So there was a lot of learning from the first technology that we believe that sort of went into this. And So it's a long list. I can go on.
Last few questions then. Yeah, I noticed you did a TEDx talk as well.
Yeah.
2.2 million views.
Really blessed.
You said something about failure is when you decide to fail.
Absolutely. And I think that has been the story of TrashCon. There were at least 1,000 moments, Neil. I mean, I would say even more than that, when we thought let's give it up, you know, because Saurabh is a CA, I was an engineer. Our team was filled with energy and passion and skill, and we could, you know, there was always a point of time when people used to come to us and tell, hey, you guys are so brilliant and you're doing, you guys could have done anything and made it a huge success. Why waste, you know? And literally, and that was sort of sympathy, not really putting us down. And there were times when we also felt, you know, why are we doing what we are doing. But again, the thing was always that, you know, we had to make a difference. We have to solve the problem because tomorrow we will have flying cars, but when we look down, we'll have mountains of waste. And that's not the kind of world which we want to leave here with. So that was a constant battle. And there were a lot of times when we really, really failed. You know, there were a lot of times when we were this close to, hey, we have put in all our money, put in all our savings into it, and it's still not happening. But at that moment, it takes something much more than just will or anything. It takes much more than that. And that's what I said. You know, failure is when you decide to fail. There were 1,000 moments when we could have given up. There were 1,000 moments when we could have failed. But we chose not to fail. We chose not to quit. And we have always seen, and now it has become a sort of an attitude rather, that when we don't give up, just a month after that, just 2 months after that, just 3 months after that, we would see that opportunity that we were looking forward to waiting for us. All it required us for was to not give up. Literally, that's exactly what we had done. And now we have understood, okay, that's a cycle. Now we are not going to give up. It has become an attitude. So that's exactly what I meant. Failure is when you decide to fail. Because, you know, as I'll just tell you, as an entrepreneur, I was hoping that, hey, 1 year, I'll have my product, I'll have this ready, it'll go into the market, it'll do boom, boom, bam. But that is not how it happens. It takes time. Any product development takes time. Any product development has to put in that many hours. You have a lot of learnings. You have a lot of feedback that you have to take. And many things that you may think may be other way around. So there was a lot of acceptance. You know, I grew a lot as a person internally as well. And it takes good amount of time to build a company, to build a solid product from scratch. So, yes. Yeah.
Looking back then, would you change anything then?
Nothing. 100% nothing. I think I'm glad you asked that question. I feel good even answering it. 100% nothing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was perfect. It was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Actually, yeah. What advice would you give to our first time founders then? What should they be focusing on?
So I think, I think one thing is we should really have a clear problem statement in mind. That helped us a lot. We were very clear on the problem that we were trying to solve. One, it was insufficient segregation. Two, it was recycling non-recyclable plastics. And then when you come up with a solution, it may, the second point is, you know, never ever look for perfection. Because if you are a technology provider, and if you are yourself the builder of your product as well, it goes without saying that you will be looking for perfection. But the market may not be looking for perfection. The market is okay with the 85%. The market is not looking for 100%. But you will not be satisfied ever with your product. That is something that you have to accept. But the market still needs the product the way it is. So I think one needs to go out in the market, test the waters as soon as possible. It could be a pilot. It could be whatever it is, a paid pilot, an unpaid pilot. But it's definitely essential that one goes on ground and tries it themselves. So this was again a big thing for us. Third is the team. The team is extremely, extremely, extremely critical. I think if I didn't have this stellar, passionate, super human beings that I work with every day, I don't think that TrashCon would be what it is. I just had the idea, the vision, the dream. It could have just been put aside. But I think the team made it happen. So you need a team that will ensure that they support you through the times which look impossible. The team that never tells impossible, that is one thing. And somebody who, you know, a team that can shoulder responsibilities, you know, that can come together. And it's a very complimentary team again. You cannot have one of, you know, you cannot have all of Nivedas. Saurabh and I are very different. Our people are very different. So you need to have a complementary team as well. So these are the things I think for TrashCon also, the team played a huge role. So the third thing is team. Fourth is support system. I think what we also did is we reached out for support at all points of time. We got support. People are ready to help. All you need to do is ask. So I think that's also something that we did quite well during the entire journey. It helped us a lot. So these are few of the learnings. And again, fifth is never ever give up. If you believe in your idea, if you think there is a market, of course, pivot. I mean, don't be unrealistic. But when you know that there is a problem, when you know that you have a solution, when you know that there is somebody ready to pay for that solution, then don't give up. You may just be a while away from, you know, making it happen. So yeah, I think a lot of things, but yeah, this is what came to the top of my head.
Yeah, yeah. We must talk about your awards. I think you won a award in Norway for 50,000 euros grand prize. Wow.
Yeah, so we I think TrashCon is very blessed, Neil. In fact, the starting two and a half years, you know, although Saurabh put in his life's earnings, my mom put in all her savings, and you know, that was our thing. It didn't suffice because we were building machines that were huge, and we had a lot of iterations. So what kept us going was actually grants. So we won a lot of grants. We won a lot of awards. Across the world, we won in Norway. We recently won in UAE. You know, where we were awarded in UAE. Recently, we won across 3 lakh companies. Not recently, it was again a few months ago. So we keep, TrashCon keeps getting recognized. And that's a huge validation for our technology at a global scale. This also helps us build a lot of credentials. People know us. It was zero cost marketing. So I again tell people that, you know, you can go out, especially when you're working in the impact field or sustainability field. There are enough entities looking to fund, looking to help, looking to support. All we need to do is go out and get those. So that's exactly what we did. Norway, we won across, I think 40 top shortlisted, I think across 40 countries. That was the first time India won, and we were the only winners. And we again won 50,000 euros. And recently also we won another 50,000 euros where we are now setting up a plan to remove plastics out of Ganga and recycle it in Uttarakhand. So TrashCon has been blessed to win a lot of awards from some of the international organizations. So and that's huge. And we really, really are grateful and blessed for that. Yeah.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. Because you mentioned credentials. Obviously, in the early days, you didn't have the credentials, I'm assuming.
Zero.
How did you sort of overcome that?
I think what happened very well with us, Neil, was that, people, I mean, if you see our customer list, you will see some of the largest corporates. Mm. If you see our customer list, you will see some of the largest municipalities. But they all trusted and believed in us for what we stood. I mean, credentials, of course, we had none. We had never really done anything. But I think that entire thing, that this was a team which will go out of the way to actually solve the problem, and they will make it happen, is a belief that I don't know if we created it or if they believed in us, but it was all about the belief. I think credentials were not there. It was more of only belief, and some of the largest corporates did. So the moment we proved our work, our worth with these corporates, they started backing us up, right? I mean, we had a lot of corporates standing behind us and telling, hey, this is a good company to work with. And that got us rolling. And what happened in the initial stages was we got a lot of traction. We got a lot of public supporting us. We got a lot of media publications covering us. Almost now 150 plus media publications have covered us in the last 4 years now. So I think a lot of traction came on its own without us really consciously doing anything. We were just working on product development. But I think it is all about the singular vision. People understand, hey, this is a very highly skilled team that is doing something and we should contribute. So that's how it all started, Neil. Credentials built later on.
Yeah. So in terms of revenues then, how's that looking?
Yes. So Neil, I think for a long time, I think till 2019, late 2019, we had literally made nothing because we were still in product development stages. But the moment we did, I mean, the moment the product was ready, and before this, we had done some pilots, on literally negligible amounts. But the moment we cracked our product development, I think in the year one itself, that is 2020, with COVID, we made $1 million in revenues. And that was huge. And all the customers, again, were inbound. So we really, really didn't go out and get customers. All these customers were inbound. And this year, we are looking at $3 million in the pipeline, out of which I think we have realized almost 50% of it now. So I think, yes, so we are in a great curve. And we will be looking at adding more recurring revenue going forward. So that's what we are.
How did you know the product was ready then?
The product was ready because, for nearly 2 weeks, we were piloting it on our own. So for a year, we ran it. So only when you run your product can you sell it to a customer, right? You can't just make a machine and sell it. So we ran our product for 1 year continuously under our supervision. We made sure that it's running flawlessly. We made sure that it has no problems. And that is when we launched it into the market. Although there was a lot of traction, although we already had interested customers in the pipeline. So that's exactly what happened.
How did you get your first customer then? And what was that experience like?
I think the first customer came on their own. I mean, all our customers came on their own. All this $1 million that we build are all on their own. How did they come? They heard about us in newspapers. They heard about us in media publications. They got to know about our good work from some other corporate or some other municipality. In fact, a Gram Panchayat purchased our machine. And the very next month, we got an order from the next Gram Panchayat. So we got an order. There was no talking. We just got the order. And the same thing repeated in two other are cases where the municipality, the adjacent municipality, just went and visited and gave us an order, right? So so such things happen to us because the machine was working. It spoke for itself. The technology speak for itself, and that got it selling. But right now we are going all out. We are making it happen. We are talking to people. So because we are very aggressively looking to scale our impact.
What was it like when you went past the 1 million revenue mark?
No, I don't know, Neil. There was nothing as such because for us it was about that 1 billion mark. 1 billion lives impact that we are looking to achieve. So we are a very unsatisfied team. any awards, we don't get super thrilled. Any number of revenue, we don't get super thrilled because our vision is something much, much beyond. So I think, but it was a great validation for a technology that was considered impossible for a technology that took nearly 2.5 years of product development. I think it was a great validation. Great validation.
Well, last question then for people who want more information on TrashCon, what must they do?
So I think definitely write to us. We are all the time available on contact@trashcon.in. We have a number as well on our website, which is already always available. So you can always dial and get to know more about our products. And yes, we look forward because I think we are looking at a time when people don't say touch wood anymore. People say touch wow. Neil, that is what we are looking to do. So we hope to seek all the support that is available. So please come join us and be a part of this beautiful journey that we are unraveling. Yeah.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, Navira. Thank you on the show. Wish you all the best. Keep winning them awards. And
thank you so much, Neil. Thank you. Very nice talking to you. 3 years next, I think. Let's meet after 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years time. Definitely, 100%.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, wish you all the best. See you now. Yeah,
bye.
Thanks to Navira for coming on the show today. And for more information, go to trashcon.in. Thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. And if you're building something exciting, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co, or tweet at IndianStartupSH. Or you can go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.